Ken, not sure how much we're listening on our conversation in the last few minutes, but we're talking about now parents involved with their children, their careers, even their contract negotiations. Have you witnessed that changing since you first got into the managerial business?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Nick, obviously the cap this year is 79.5, and next year, Gary Bettman just talked, at the Board of Governors about the possibility of it going up into the low 80s. So certainly when you get into a negotiation with any player, they've got agents. And, obviously I signed Dylan Larkin this summer to a five-year deal at $6.1 million a year. And we had to go through a process that started probably in early May. Kurt Overhart, his agent, myself, and Joe Oliver. And through May, through June, through July, I think in early August. So it took us 3 months. But you're not negotiating constantly for 3 months because you got to go away, you got the draft, and you got free agency. But over the course of 3 months, we have to go through a process to find a solution that worked for Dylan and his agents and his family, and made good business sense to Dylan, and also made good business sense to the Detroit Red Wings. And we eventually found a solution that both sides were comfortable with. And as Doug had said on there, certainly a big part of any negotiation is comparables. And trying to identify, not one comparable, because I don't know that one contract dictates a marketplace, but, numerous multiple comparables based upon age, based upon whether the player's a goal scorer, a centerman, or defenseman, ice time. So it's just a process to find a good solution.
The conversation vis-a-vis contracts, yeah, and the point that Nick was bringing up was, the Maple Leafs just went through this process with William Nylander, his agent Lewis Gross, and Michael Nylander as well, the father. And Nick was making the point, and I think rightfully so, that with so much money involved and the youth involved and the players, that inevitably parents do get involved. Has that been your experience now in this quote-unquote new NHL, that the players' parents are involved in that process you talked about?
That's a good question. Obviously when I negotiate with the agent. So, when I get off the phone with the agent and the agent's going to go back and talk to the player, I don't know that it's as easy as saying it's 100% of the time that the family members are involved or family members are not involved. I think every situation is unique. And in some situations, family members are going to be very involved. In some situations, family members aren't going to be as involved. I don't know if one's any better or different than the worst. So I think as you go through from a manager's perspective, you got to go through the process, and you got to, that's why I said, in Dylan Larkin's case, to find a solution, it took us 3 months. And sometimes it takes a full season. It's just every negotiation is a little bit unique. For all those things you've talked about,
Ken, I'm as a guy that got booted out of the league as a GM, I'm really excited this summer to watch the 12 GMs squirm when they're trying to sign these group twos: Line A, Marner, Matthews,
Kachuk, McAvoy. Keep going.
And the Rantanen. I'm really excited to see some squirming this summer. Do you have any? Would you give any advice to these fellow GMs now that you got Larkin out of the way?
No, I don't have any advice. Certainly, I guess you were a manager. Those are great problems to have. The more good players that you've got, and I've been fortunate. Obviously we're in a different time here in Detroit right now, but there was a time when we did have, Konstantinov and Fedorov and Yzerman and Lidstrom and Shanahan and a few of those guys, those types of players. And it was a different time, but it's a nice problem to have. It's a nice problem to have great players and to go through the negotiation to get them done to a contract. The more good players you can have, the better it is.
So you aren't looking forward to seeing them squirm like I am?
I squirm every day. That's a part of being a general manager, a head coach in the NHL.
Ken, don't get fooled by Doug for 1 second, because off the air he told me, you know, the first team that would take a run at signing an RFA off another team, Detroit.
No, I didn't. I did not say that.
Detroit. New building. Got to get the fans engaged again. Detroit.
Anyway, I didn't say it, but it's not a bad thought.
Ken, are we still in the old school, though?
Well, we're gonna keep humming along, trying to move some kids in, and certainly our goal is to we got to look at whatever things we got to do to try to get our team back to being able to compete with the big boys in the league.
Okay, but, so
right now we're in a good spot. We got some young kids that are coming along.
Okay, so. Without telling us whether or not you would do it or not, has the pendulum swung enough to sit there and make it a real viable option to sign someone's RFA? Or are we still in the mode of, you don't touch mine, I won't touch yours?
I don't know if it's ever been, you know what I mean? Because there has been, obviously, we had an offer sheet on Sergei Fedorov many years ago by Carolina, and we had to... We matched at the time. I think ultimately it only makes sense if you think that you are going to do something where you can end up with the player. And I think that most of the time you don't think you're going to end up with the player, and nobody's does. I don't think that there's any sort of unwritten rule or anything. I just think that you kind of assess situations, whether it's your own or somebody else's. So I'm not sure what's going to go on this summer, but I'm just worried about the Detroit Red Wings.
You know, just to that point, Ken, if you don't get the player, you could still hurt someone in your division, like a rival. I mean, is that not a plus, even if you don't end up with a player? Or is that just me being competitive?
No, you're just being rotten.
Yeah, is that just me being rotten?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it's easy to sit on I just don't know if it's easier for you to do it than it is for somebody else. You know, I gotta run a team, and I can't be worried about running. You know, I gotta run my team. You want me to try to run somebody else's team? You know, It's hard. And I got a hard enough job running the Red Wings.
Well, listen, we saw a little bit of Red Wings old school a couple of nights ago in the game against the Colorado Avalanche, and you know, you're waiting for Draper and Waugh to start throwing down. In that one, but a costly game for you guys. Anthony Mantha fights Patrick Nemeth. He's out now with the broken hand. Tyler Bertuzzi has a poke from the bench on Matt Calvert. 2-game suspension there. What did you make of A, the Mantha fight, and B, the Bertuzzi suspension?
Well, I think first off, I'm trying to build a program with young people, and I like the idea that our young guys are sticking up for one another. The night before in Boston, we had a little bit of a, both goalies were kind of trying to get at each other at center ice Tyler Bertuzzi was going after Marchand. I think it's important that our young players are developing an identity, sticking up for one another. I'm disappointed, obviously, that Mantha got into a fight protecting basically Nemeth hit Larkin, and that's his centerman, and he went to his defense, and I'm disappointed that he broke his hand, but. You know, the next night, Dan DeKeyser got in the way of a blocked shot on the power play against Tampa Bay Stamkos, and he's now got a fractured hand, and he's probably out four to 6 weeks. So it's a hard game, and if you're going to go to the hard areas and you're going to block shots and you're going to be in front of the net, there's a risk that you're going to get hurt. So, I don't know that I would say to Anthony, you can't. We want our players to play hard, and I think that I've been fortunate enough to be on teams that have gone on long playoff runs. You need to be gritty, and you need to be in the hard areas, and you need to block shots, and you need to be leaning on people, and I still think that's an important ingredient on going on a long playoff run, and I certainly think that's one of the ingredients that even Washington had last year as they won the Stanley Cup. So I'm happy that our guys, our young players, the Bertuzzis, the Manthas, they're being feisty, and they're being aggressive, but they're sticking up for one another. And as we go forward, I think that's an important ingredient for us in our team building process.
Ken, you're, you know, two or three points out of the wild card. You're in the mix with a group of teams in the East, and you know, there's a lot of chatter about Howard, and there's a couple of teams that are desperately looking for goaltending help. My sources tell me that you're not moving Howard. Are my sources correct?
And is Jeff Rimmer correct?
Jeff Rimmer does not know anything about Columbus, by the way. He knows everything about everybody else's team.
Right now I've got a few people that are important to our team that are contracts are up. Not only Howard, there's Nyquist is having a good year for us. I think he's got he's on pace for 60 points, or therefore Nick Jensen's an unrestricted free agent. You know, there's a couple other veterans. So I haven't really done anything with any of our players. I thought I would wait until, you know, we get close to halfway through the year, you know, maybe in early January. And then at that point in time, I got to start to make some decisions about who we're going to make. I'm going to try to make attempts to re-sign. And, you know, where are we at in the standings? And are we pushing towards buyer mode, or I don't know, buyer mode, but seller mode or stand pat mode? Because we're only a few points out of a playoff spot. So it's going to be an important next 20 games to see what our record is. Howie's played great for us, and I think Bernier as well. We've got a really good 1-2 punch in goal. I think that's been one of the reasons that we've been able to be 500. You know, early on, I think we were 0-5-2 out of the gate. We were basically playing four young kids on defense, and since that point in time, I think we're 11-5-2, and the goaltenders Howard and Bernier have been big factors in us having an 11-5-2 run. So I've been a big Howard fan ever since we drafted in the second round and watched him in Grand Rapids, and I obviously signed him to a 5 or 6 year deal, but he's playing probably as good as he's played his entire career. You got to have good goaltending, so I'll make that assessment over the next 4 or 5 weeks. And but certainly there's a good chance that we could re-sign him. But at the same time, I'm just going to kind of sit now and let this watch things play out with our team and see how competitive can we be here over the next 20 games. Where are we in the standings? And then I got at some point in time here in January, February, I'm going to have to swing into action and start making some decisions.
So you're like all my sources. You didn't give me any answers.
Yeah. Well, I ought to give you an answer. I'm still in the mode of analyzing what we've got and where we're going here over the next couple of months.
Ken, we saw the league the other day introduce the 32nd franchise to the NHL. Is it way too early to project what that expansion team would, the scenario that would be at your hands and any other team? Because we saw some teams in the last expansion draft get somewhat burned by not projecting on some of their younger players. Minnesota comes to mind. Where do you start in terms of now still being the general manager of the Detroit Red Wings and sitting there going, okay, who do I keep and who do I expose?
Well, I mean, you know, as Gary Bettman had said, you know, with the pushback to 2021, because there was, you know, there was talk whether it was 20 or 21, certainly gives us an extra year, you know, here in Detroit. We got a lot of young kids that are going to have to be, you know, I get Bertuzzi and Mantha and Athanasiou and Larkin and Rasmussen. I mean, these are players that are going to be, you know, guys that we're going to have to protect, obviously. You know, what do we do with Zadina the second half of the year? So it gives us, at least I know the rules. I got lots of time to figure it out and lots of time to plan what direction I'm going to go. And I, you know, I think that when you get to that point in time of June of 2021, you know, you're going to make decisions that you think are in the best interest. Where is your franchise? Are you in a rebuild? Is it now time? Is it go time? Are we trying to win now? Are we trying to hang on to what we've got? Are we, you know, all those are factors that are things that weigh into the decision that you make. So I don't know that you can say, oh, everybody's going to have the same mindset as they did in the Vegas expansion, or everybody's going to go into a conservative mode or an aggressive mode, because there's different teams are going to be in different cycles. You know, when you look at this NHL now, you know, you get to be a top for a while, and then however long you can stay up there, and it starts to, you know, there's the cap and there's things that involve. So where are you in your team cycle? And do you want to spend some assets to keep what you got, or are you looking towards the future? And we've all got a couple of years now to make those decisions.
You know what? I know you're a big wheel in the NHL now, and you got Bettman's ear on a lot of things. And I got to tell you, I'm not very pleased with the fact that the Board of Governors meet in Sea Island versus Boca or West Palm, because I like to have the Sportsnet guys over to my place for a glass of wine and, you know, a little treat for them. And Kiprios analyzes the type of wine I serve. He takes a picture of the label and sends it to make sure the price is fine.
Yes, this is true.
So I'm not happy with this decision, Ken. Can you have that fixed for next season?
Well, you used to be a big wheel in the league. You got to pull some of get back to some of those people that used to be a big wheel with.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Me and Brian Burke, and he's here next to me some days.
Quickly, before we let you go, Ken, and I know you're busy, big game tonight against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Maybe this is in order. I want to talk about Nicholas Cronwall quickly. Some of his great hits, Danny Heatley, Alex Hemsky, Jake Voracek, Martin Havlat.
That's enough.
We just saw Colin Wilson the other day, and I'm watching that Colorado game, and I'm saying, is that the last time I'm going to see Nicholas Cronwall throw that hits? Where's Cronwall at right now?
In terms of his career?
Yeah.
Or in terms of being able to play that style of game?
Well, I guess both, really. I mean, we haven't seen him, you know, throw that hit for a while. It's tough, I know, now in the NHL, but I saw him hit Wilson.
I guess, obviously, obviously some of those hits that, you know, that you're going back, you know, in his early years and of his career, probably, and I can't write, I haven't seen them, but probably some of those are illegal now. But certainly the hit the other night was a great hit.
Yep.
When he just
loved
got him, you know, shoulder to chest and, The guy had the puck, but certainly Croner has been one of the great open ice hitters.
Did he get a match for it?
NHL, you know, in his time when he played.
Did he get a match, Kenny?
You know, Croner's 37, 38 years of age. What?
Did he get a match penalty? They usually give a match for those hits now.
No, it was a great hit. It was a great hit, Doug. It was, well within the rules and shoulder to chest. It was
I
a
loved
great
it.
Hit. And he's as good as any at it.